Okay. I'd like us to resume our meeting so we can move along. This is our last item. We're missing Mr. Hausch is here. Mr. Jeffries is somewhere. I just saw him. And Dr. Hunter is around. She was a minute ago. Dr. Hunter. Okay. Is Mr. Jeffries out in the foyer? Does anybody know?
I believe
he is. Can you rein him in here, please?
Paging Mr. Jeffries. Vice Chair Jeffries, the white courtesy phone. Didn't work. It never works in the airport either.
All rise.
It did work.
The Honorable.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All right. We're now back on the EO's report, and we're going to have a public comments on a couple of items. Are these grouped, Roger?
No, those are just the order I've seen, but those are all related to ag.
Okay, all right. Gail Delahant?
They're supposed to be.
She hasn't returned from lunch.
She hasn't. I'll put her at the bottom of the pile. Kira Redman? I don't see Kira here. Okay. You just saw her. Okay. How about Richard Quant?
He is, I believe, at lunch.
Okay. All right, put him at the bottom.
I mean, Nathan is here and I am here.
Okay.
The rest of them are...
Okay, Mr. Merrill?
No, I'm Kurt Schmidt.
You're Kurt Schmidt. Where is Mr. Merrill?
Mr. Merrill is at lunch.
They all in the same car.
And they said 30 minutes was fine, right?
You gave 45.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Mr. Schmidt, you're here. Morgan Rafferty, are you here?
She's at lunch.
Okay.
I had to move my car.
Kira, I put your card at the bottom because you weren't in here. And then, but everyone's still together as a group. Okay. Kurt Schmidt and Morgan Rafferty, is she here?
She's not here.
Tracy Roberts?
Tracy is. I don't want to repeat myself that often. It gives me a bad reputation.
Hang on a second. Nathan Alley?
Nathan is here.
Okay, so you're number two. And then Kira, you're number three because you're here. All right, Mr. Schmidt.
Hello, I'm Kurt Schmidt. I'm the Executive Director of Central Coast Water Quality Preservation. We do the water quality monitoring on the Central Coast for the Ag Waiver. We've dealt closely with your staff for the past 5 years and for the 2 years before that when we were negotiating the original Ag Waiver. We're very sensitive to the fact that it's difficult for your staff to accomplish such a large task because of the funding shortfalls that all state agencies have. We've addressed, Preservation Inc. has addressed by written correspondence some of the items in the executive officer's report dealing with greater attention to data management by staff, which I think is warranted. However, there's a concern that the further down in the report that the review of monitoring because of lack of staff would be deferred. And I believe this is unfortunate because there's some very good results showing that agriculture has improved the quality of water in agricultural areas over the last 5 years. We submitted a trend analysis showing in 18 of the 27 sites that we have 5 years' worth of data, or 4.5 years' worth of data, the trends have improved. And most importantly, because many things you can't measure over the relatively short period of time of 5 years, we find that tailwater flows in impaired watersheds, for example, those of Tembladero Slough, Oso Flaco, and Quail Creek. And I have given Lisa copies of an analysis to accompany the information we already submitted, have declined between 50% and 70% over a five-year period. This is a remarkable decline in tailwater flows in areas that are mostly representative of vegetable crops. And the vegetable crops are the ones that were most... that had the greatest response to the collapse of the ag panel because they would bear the brunt of many of the proposals being made by staff and management. I believe that the panel process, the ag panel process, was successful. We met three times without staff and made significant progress. Unfortunately, when we returned to the last meeting, we were allowed 5 minutes to review 21 hours of work over 3 days, and we moved on to an issue of dealing with monitoring and riparian habitat. The issues of monitoring and riparian habitat were the keys for having the ag panel fall apart and the reason the vegetable growers left at noon on that day. I believe that everyone on the ag panel, whether they were environmentalists, researchers, representatives of the National Marine Sanctuary, or farmers, clearly understood their task, clearly understood the objectives, and it wasn't ambiguous at all. And I can say this because when we were not supervised and met by ourselves, a tremendous amount of progress was made to reaching goals dealing with tailwater. And I think this is representative of the type of help that can be brought, the help can be given to your staff and management if the ag panel is allowed to actually develop some answers instead of being given us solutions that were mandatory and arbitrary. I think that having workshops would give us an opportunity, whether it's the environmental representatives or the agricultural representatives, an opportunity to discuss with all the members of the board and staff things that will improve water quality in agricultural areas but allow farmers to continue to profitably farm, because if they can't profitably farm, no one's going to improve the water quality in ag areas because they're going to be out of business. And if you have any questions, I will take them now. Thank you.
Has the ag community provided their solutions into the ag panel for discussion?
While there was a discussion that we did not provide a straw man, there was never a format to provide a straw man. We spent two meetings brainstorming, which was possibly the two most worthless meetings I've ever attended. And while we had a goal of having a straw man, it wasn't completed at the time the ag panel concluded. However, members of the agricultural community from all six counties in the region are getting together and got together earlier this month to prepare a proposal to submit to your board and to your staff of ideas that will improve water quality but be feasible based on the research that is presently available. And I think that looking at the research that's presently available, and this is research from people like Tim Hartz at UC Davis and Michael Kahn, is going to be very important because some of the things that were discussed are not feasible. And we need to look at the research to see what is likely to improve water quality at this point and what is improbable to improve water quality.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions for Mr. Schmidt? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's see. Nathan Alley, staff attorney, Environmental Defense Center.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me here today. My name is Nathan Alley. I am an attorney with the Environmental Defense Center here in town. I was a panel member. I just want to say two things preliminarily. One is I had a discussion with my colleague Steve Schimmick at Monterey Coastkeeper this morning. He would love to be here, but just got back from a trip rafting the Grand Canyon. And while I would not purport to speak for Steve or for Coastkeeper, I believe that he probably shares many of the sentiments that I will share with you today. The other comment I would make is that I don't have any prepared comments for you. I did not submit a letter. Rather, I was asked to come down and share my perspective on the panel, how it worked and how it might move forward, and I was happy to do so. So I thought I'd kind of cover four things quickly. One is the background of my organization's participation in this process. The second are the expectations that I entered into the process with. The third are my observations on the process itself, and then the fourth is how we might move forward to achieve everybody's goals. So first of all, the Environmental Defense Center, as some of you may know, is a nonprofit law firm that represents other conservation interests, including ourselves, in SLO, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. We participated as an organization in the first iteration of this order 5 years ago. I myself was not on that panel. I was actually not in Santa Barbara at the time, but my colleague was. And I will share from that process is that I understood it to be very positive, certainly achieved quite a bit, and I was looking forward to participating in this new process. I would also say that my understanding is that the outcome of that original process, as reflected in the order and in water quality improvements, has been positive. Certainly, the grower community has taken great steps in improving water quality and in working with the board to address regulations. So my expectations coming into this process, they were primarily informed by two things. One was a conversation or a series of conversations I had with my colleague who had been on the first panel. And the second is the letter that we received from Mr. Briggs in December of last year inviting us to participate. So the first conversation I had really dealt largely with what was left at the end of the first process. It sounds like people are coming in, I'm glad, because this is still, I believe, a collaborative process, and I don't want to be up here giving comments that necessarily are argumentative or contradict other people. But anyway, moving out of that first process, my understanding was that there were certain things, certain conversations left on the table, certain hurdles that were not quite able to be overcome. And so the first process essentially ended with a happy compromise with the expectation that in this process, in the second iteration, certain other issues would be worked out and the program would be improved. Now, my expectations about that were further informed by this letter that I got from Mr. Briggs and your staff almost a year ago. And it lists, among other things, the five key objectives. Four of them were listed up here at the moment. Eliminate toxicity, reduce nutrient discharges both to surface and to groundwater, that was included in the letter, minimize sediment discharges, and protect aquatic habitat, including riparian habitat and wetlands. And certainly, as a conservation organization, we support all of these objectives. It's part and parcel of what we do. I would also say, though, that our organization is interested in preserving agricultural lands, and keeping them working and keeping that community thriving. We are not just about habitat protections, et cetera. So anyway, I can certainly wrap it up. I would just say briefly that my observations on the process were that it was productive. I believe that the expectations were set clearly in the beginning, but not necessarily understood by everybody. And I think that's probably what led to the dissolution of the panel. I would say that we as an organization are happy to move forward with whatever process you decide is appropriate, and we're looking forward to participating with the order again in January. I'm happy to answer questions. Again, I just was kind of here to share, so.
Any questions from the board?
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Kira Redman, and is Richard Quant here? Okay, and then Kevin Merrill? Okay, good, that's the order.
Good afternoon, I'm Kira Redman, Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. My organization participated faithfully throughout the duration of the Ag Advisory Panel process, and we commend the members of the panel representing agricultural interests and their organizations for their commitment to water quality improvement. We realize that it is largely their commitment and collaborative efforts that produce the gains that have been achieved through the implementation of the current waiver program. However, we strongly believe that the program must be significantly strengthened to ensure that beneficial uses of our local water bodies are protected. Water quality throughout our region remains highly impaired by agricultural pollutants, and the current waiver program is largely administrative and is minimally enforceable. And without a requirement to perform on-site monitoring, the existing cooperative program can't determine whether water quality improvements are being achieved. And while the formal panel process has dissolved, Channel Keeper still strongly supports the direction that regional board staff has taken towards strengthening the agricultural waiver. We support changes that will produce actual water quality improvements on the ground by incorporating requirements for monitoring of discharges from irrigated lands, water quality standards for discharges to surface water and groundwater, measures that protect aquatic habitat, and milestones and time schedules for achieving water quality improvements. I think it was clear from the beginning of the panel's work that the necessary goal was a more robust waiver. Staff has stuck to that goal to date, and Channel Keeper supports staying the course toward a stronger waiver that will produce actual improvements to water quality moving forward. Thanks. Do you want me to talk about the HydroMod effort, or do you want me to come back up? Okay, thanks.
Okay.
If that's our review,
sure. No,
yeah. Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Quant. I'm the president of the Grower Shipper Vegetable Association. I was also a member of the Agricultural Advisory Panel back in 2004, and I was a member of this current panel here recently, the panel that was not as successful as the first panel. And I would I mean, in my mind, the two main differences between the first panel and the second panel is in the first panel, there wasn't a predetermined result. We weren't provided a copy of a letter with specific goals. The panel convened, and we were asked to comply with the state mandate, the legislative mandate, in terms of enacting a waiver program for agriculture. And the panel was free to, I think, consider different approaches, and the panel worked well together. It took us a long time, but I think we were successful in reaching a waiver. I think the failure of the second agricultural advisory panel is really is symptomatic of a bigger problem with your agency, and that is that the irrigated agricultural waiver program has changed in the last year to the agricultural regulatory program. And I think those goals that you see there are the goals of the regulatory program, and they viewed the waiver as a tool to insert enforcement tools that they would have, whereas most of us that were participating in the waiver, we looked at it in terms of how can we improve water quality. And that was our focus. And and so I think what I'm here to ask the board to do is look at this notion of the irrigated ag program and how that worked. And it had buy-in from the ag community. You know, there's 1,500 enrollees in this program. And I look at them as like, it's like a herd of cattle. There's all different sizes and shapes of farmers. And your first program got that herd moving in the right direction. You were very successful in getting everybody, forming the herd, and getting them to move in the right direction. Now, you had some strays out there, and they may not have moved as fast as you wanted, but they moved in that direction. And, you know, the ag community was there with you as some of your wranglers. Your staff didn't do that all by themselves. The ag organizations and the ag coalition helped you. We know how to get those cows walking. And we know how fast they can walk because we know how far we can push them. There are constraints in terms of how fast they can reach that goal. And we know that that goal is going to take years and years to reach. But we helped you in that endeavor. And what I fear is that the trust between your agency and the ag community is going to be broken. And your agency by itself is going to have a great deal of difficulty herding that cattle towards the goal. In fact, what's happened is you have several people in your agricultural regulatory program that have intervened into that herd, and they're scaring that herd. And you have a situation where those cows are stampeding, and they're scattering to the hills, or they're just turning around and stopping and saying, I'm not going on this, I'm not walking anymore. And so to rectify that situation and get everybody going in the right direction again, you need to make some changes. And one of the changes you need to make is look at what worked before, reinstating the irrigated agricultural program and telling the people that are involved in the agricultural regulatory program to get out of the herd and disengage themselves from that process. Let the people that develop the program and know how to move the herd forward do their job to do that. And that's where we're at loggerheads here. And that's, I think, the most beneficial thing that this board could do is recognize the progress that was made and build upon that progress and recognize that there are elements within your agency that are trying to change that. And they need direction from you to disengage from this process and let the original process go forward. That's in the simplest terms, I think, in agricultural terms, that's what you're looking at, and that's what I would ask you to do.
Typically, Mr. Quant, what happens is that Mr. Briggs assigns staff to different programs and projects. Mm-hmm. Mr. Briggs does the assignment of staff. Mm-hmm. The board doesn't inject itself into that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our purview is Mr. Briggs, and then it goes down from him. We've got to hear at a workshop what's going on before we can weigh in on any of this. I mean, but we're listening. We hear what the concerns are. and we just have to get a balanced picture from everybody as to what and how we can move forward. So I agree with you. We were highly successful the first mm-hmm. go-around. We are still highly successful. This is a bump in the road. If there are wheels off the wagon, we're going to put them back on with titanium, and we're going to get all those cows that are wandering around aimlessly back into the herd. And everyone is going to help do that because we all want the same thing. We want a viable ag industry, and we want water quality. And so we are going to figure out how we achieve both of those goals. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. I would say with respect to the workshops, I think that would be very helpful and productive. I would be happy in any way to assist the board in terms of structuring a workshop. And I would think that a workshop in the context of your regular meeting is one thing. If you could see it within your time and effort to actually have a full-blown workshop just for this specific topic, that would be greatly appreciated.
Well, a workshop would be just for that. It would be an agenda item that's dedicated to a certain amount of time, where that's all we're dealing with. But to actually have a separate day where we just do, you know, this item, we have a lot of constraints with staff time, limited resources, everything else, and that's what we're looking at. Well, we're going to devote the effort that's necessary to go ahead and make sure everything is moving along in the right direction. That I can promise you. We're going to take a look at it and listen to everybody, and then the board will weigh in, and we'll try to get the pieces put back together.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, this is simply the EO's report. It's an informational item. The board's not taking any action today. It's just a listening process. That's all it is. Mr. Jeffers.
Thank you.
I just had one question. Since you are the grower shippers, how is the food safety rules and regulations blending into the ag webers? Is that causing some problems?
Yes, there are conflicts between your food safety program or your food safety goals that are set forth in the Leafy Green Marketing Agreement and the food safety goals that your individual buyer is mandating that you meet, which are different than the LGMA goals. And some of the objectives, especially with related to protecting aquatic habitat, because aquatic habitat is habitat attracts wildlife, and when wildlife goes into the field and there's fecal matter in your field, that has pretty serious food safety ramifications with respect to the marketability of that crop. And so, you know, to the extent that aquatic habitat is being promoted near where we're growing our food, the wildlife that is attracted to that habitat also goes into the fields.
And has this information been put out during these panel discussions?
Well, we've never had, in terms of the panel discussion, we haven't had technical people that have participated in the panel to discuss technical issues of this nature. And so we've discussed it in general terms. But we haven't come to any resolution. Aquatic habitat was not in the first waiver. There's nothing in the first waiver to address that. And so this was a new element that came at the panel, and that's one of the reasons why I think the panel's had so much difficulty grappling with this issue, because both protecting aquatic habitat and food safety are new issues that we didn't have to deal with 5 years ago.
Any other board questions or comments for Mr. Quant? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Kevin Merrill, and then Morgan Rafferty. Are you here, Morgan? Okay, and then Tracy Roberts. Okay, and then Gail Dillahunt. Okay. All right, Mr. Merrill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. I've appeared before you many times. I think you guys know me. For the newest members, I am currently serving as the president of Santa Barbara County Farm Bureau, and I am still the president of Preservation, Inc., and so I wear many different hats, still in the Central Wine Growers as well. What I want to talk to you about today is there have been a lot of folks that you've heard from today about what happened and what went wrong with the ag panel. I want to talk about some solutions of what we want to do from agriculture for the future. And Santa Barbara County Farm Bureau, under my direction, have put together a coalition of the 8 county farm bureaus in Region 3, along with the State Farm Bureau folks, Danny Merkley, who's in charge of the water resources up there, as well as the folks in our Natural Resources Department, as well as Western growers, vegetable growers and shippers. Organizations in both Santa Barbara and Monterey counties have begun to meet on working on a proposal for the renewal of the ag waiver. We have begun, and we hope to be able to share our proposal with you by April. We want to be able to include our environmental partners in on that discussion because they've been integral in things we've done in the past, and we want to hear their concerns. But the goal of our proposal was to be well-defined and clear to everyone involved. We'll work on criteria for measuring progress and attainment of our goals while realizing that the outcome is realistic and achievable given the complexity of agriculture. Our goals will include a time frame for accomplishments and provide ample time to achieve them. I believe our proposal will build upon the successes of the current ag waiver here in Region 3 and will continue in the direction of improving water quality over time. And we look forward to sitting down with the board at a workshop and sharing our ideas with you at the appropriate time. And I think the other thing we need to look at, and I'm not going to go over what happened at the panel meeting, I said I wouldn't, but if you look at this slide deal on the wall here, the first thing they have up there is eliminate toxicity. Eliminate is a pretty harsh term. I don't know if you can eliminate anything in the world today. We have to make sure whatever those issues are, that they're realistic. And that's what we want to talk to you folks about at a board retreat or a board workshop. I think we need to look at what's happening in other areas. In the Central Valley, for example, they're looking at a long-term irrigated lands regulatory program. Maybe you do away with the waiver here. Maybe you know, 5 years comes along quickly. And one of the problems we've had is on ag panels, being a representative of agriculture, is we go out there and we represent our folks, and we go back and tell them what's going to happen, and they buy into it. And we've got them going along, as Richard said, the herd is going in the right direction. And all of a sudden, under Mr. Briggs and his staff, they decided to change direction. And all of a sudden, the herd's turned around 180 degrees and going the other way. It makes it very, very difficult for us to go back to our constituents and get them to buy in on a new ag program that they've already bought into. So I think we need to take a deep breath, step back, look at what's already working, see what really needs to be in there and how we can make it work. And we're happy to sit down and do that with you. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You mentioned April 2010, you'd have a proposal ready?
We hope to, yes.
You'd certainly have information to share at a workshop in December or January?
Well, I think we can talk to you and sit down and talk about what we've accomplished with the waiver to date so that you understand that.
Okay, good.
Absolutely,
okay.
We can talk before that.
All right, good.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions or comments for Mr. Merrill? Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Morgan Rafferty.
Good afternoon. My name is Morgan Rafferty. I'm the director of the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo.
You can speak up a little louder.
I'm the director of the Environmental Center of the San Luis Obispo, and I've been a member of the Ag Advisory Panel. We were represented by someone else on staff for the first ag waiver. And I've just handed over a joint letter from the Ag Advisory Panel. Not everyone was able to sign on to this, but the majority of the panel has. And I'd just like to point out some highlights because it's a long letter and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. So we have come here today to encourage the regional board members to prevent the loss of a proven, effective, collaborative model that was begun during the first conditional ag waiver. Both ag and environmental stakeholders invested time and attention to develop the first conditional ag waiver and then to ensure that significant outreach and education were provided to the grower community. These efforts were responsible for the high levels of enrollment reached on the Central Coast and the continued efforts by growers, researchers, and others to demonstrate improvements to water quality. Nearly 2,000 growers participated in the water quality planning short courses, representing approximately 400,000 acres of irrigated ag along the Central Coast. Over 80% of the growers enrolled in the conditional waiver completed their farm plans by June 2008. Tonight in Moss Landing, the growers and support staff of the Quail Creek Subwater Working Group will receive the 2009 Aqua Confluence Award for exceptional collaborative efforts and community leadership. A successful new conditional ag waiver would recognize the good work accomplished as a result of the collaborative process and build on those successes. An ag waiver that does not take a logical and science-based approach to improving water quality will not gain the region-wide buy-in necessary for an effective ag waiver. Success also means acknowledging and solving the weaknesses in the conditional ag waiver we have today. These include lack of landowner engagement, significant problems with information and data management, and the need for a fair and consistent enforcement process. And there's a section in there about the breakdown of the Ag Advisory Panel. I think you've heard quite a bit about that today. And I want to highlight another section about the concept of cooperative on-farm sampling. We thoroughly discussed that at the Ag Advisory Panel meetings. We were making progress with the idea and how it might be structured. However, while it might be necessary for the regional board to have some type of accountability that growers are making the efforts requiring on-farm individual monitoring, requiring that to be reported is likely to alienate all of agriculture. Any program that must be reasonably and fairly applied so that, for example, those with no tailwater or clean tailwater have fewer monitoring reporting requirements, lower fees, etc. And so now our request is that many panel members have expressed an interest in working together to develop a new proposal, as Mr. Merrill has pointed out. We are supportive of a proposal that will maintain the focus on improvements to water quality with a verification component. We will hope that you will carefully assess such a proposal in light of our collective support. And we see this shift. Can I just finish?
You can wrap up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I will. We see this shift from a collaborative process shows that a feeling that the growers in the area have been recalcitrant, but that really doesn't seem to reflect the reality. And I just hope you'll take a look at the names and the organizations of the people who signed the letter.
Okay, question I have for you. Mm-hmm. Are there names that are missing?
Well,
because that's important. Is there a minority view that's not being expressed on this?
There's no one wrote back and said they did not want to sign onto the letter. There are people we didn't hear from. There are people who are on vacation. So no one said don't put my name on the letter.
Okay. Whose name is not on here?
Allison, do you have a list of the Ag Panel members?
Channel Keeper's
not on there. Environmental Defense.
Mr. Schmidt, do you know who else is not?
Environmental Defense.
Okay.
Environmental Defense Center.
Okay.
Yeah. The Coast Keeper is out of state for the whole month, so he hasn't seen it.
The entire Coast Keeper?
Well, no, the one who was on the panel. Okay. I didn't send it out to the entire Coast Keeper. There was only one on the panel. So we didn't hear back from everyone.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Rafferty? No? Any board comments, questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.